Hey, it's 5:05 on Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. From the Sourced Podcast Network in New York City, this is your host, Pocky Huang. Stories into this episode come from Chris Hughes in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Chase Bennett in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, Edwin Kwan in Sydney, Australia, Katie Craig in San Diego, California, Marcel Brown in St. Louis, Missouri. Let's get to it.
Chris Hughes here from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today I wanted to cover a story from GitHub, the platform provider that is announcing their release of Export SBOM function. This allows anyone with read access to a GitHub cloud repository to generate an NTIA-compliant SBOM and SPDX format with a single click. We've seen a lot of activity around software supply chain security. SBOM, Software Bill of Materials, for folks not familiar with that, is essentially an ingredient list for software and applications that shows you dependencies, the components, the libraries, et cetera, that make up an application or a piece of software. And there's two leading formats, which is Cyclone DX from the OWASP Foundation, and also the SPDX, or Software Packet Data Exchange format, that's led by the Linux Foundation. Now, this capability from GitHub is using SPDX format and allows developers a quick and easy way with read access to a repo to produce an SBOM on demand with a single click. Now, this is a great capability that's being pushed by a platform provider like GitHub to streamline and alleviate the burden of producing SBOMs across the industry. Even in the federal government space, there's now emerging requirements for third-party software providers to provide these artifacts to federal agencies that they're providing software to. So this is a great capability to provide to the industry to alleviate the burden of producing SBOMs and doing it easily for software providers that want to provide these to their consumers or customers. That said, have a good day.
OpenAI suffered a number of difficulties last week, including outages, users being able to see one another's saved chat histories, and now it has come to light that payment details were exposed. To be precise, payment and personal information of 1.2% of ChatGPT Plus subscribers were exposed during a 9-hour window. The root cause? A bug in an open-source library. Hello, this is Trace Bannon reporting from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. The current innovation darling of the internet, OpenAI, is like many other organizations that use open-source software. The bug was found in Redis client open-source library called Redis I. Redis stands for Remote Dictionary Server. It's a super-fast, in-memory, key-value data store that gives sub-millisecond response time and is used as a data store, a caching mechanism, and for message brokering and queuing. That wicked-fast performance makes it a go-to choice for gaming, financial services, healthcare, and IoT. In this case, it was also used by the wildly popular ChatGPT service. In episode 105, I mused about our willingness to seemingly overlook the outage and conversation history spillage. When I learned about the payment data spillage, I dug in to see how OpenAI was handling the situation, both technically and from a messaging perspective. While these incidents are indeed serious, we can take a few notes on leading practices. OpenAI quickly evaluated risk as new issues surfaced and they took protective actions. With over 100 million users, they knew the attack surface was too large. Identifying a critical account takeover vulnerability, they took ChatGPT offline. OpenAI was communicative with the user community. The tone of the responses was measured and consistent across the social media landscape. Sam Altman was fast to publish the technical postmortem and take responsibility. OpenAI reached out to the Redis maintainers with a patch. While they publicly thanked the Redis maintainers, it's not certain yet whether or not OpenAI is consistently contributing back to the open source community beyond the patch. Organizations that are making this sort of global impact should be active and vibrant members of the open source ecosystem. Other more predictable efforts include adding redundant checks to validate data returned by their Redis cache match the requesting user, improving the scale of the Redis cluster to reduce the likelihood of connection errors at extreme load, examining their robust logs to make sure that all the messages are available only to the right user. I personally am wondering if they're tracking their own dependencies. I'll have to ask my fellow journalist, DJ Schleen, if OpenAI has implemented an SBOM. Something to noodle on.
This is Edwin Kwan from Sydney, Australia. Bill Tollers from Bleeping Computer has reported that Crown Resort, which is Australia's largest gambling and entertainment company, has confirmed that it suffered a data breach after its Go Anywhere secure file sharing server was breached using a zero-day vulnerability. The gambling and entertainment company, which operates in Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Macau, and London, said that there is no evidence of the data breach impacting customers. The Go Anywhere zero-day vulnerability has resulted in breaches for a number of other organizations. Some of them include Hedge Bank, Rubix, the City of Toronto, Hitachi Energy, Procter & Gamble, and Saks Fifth Avenue.
Panera announced that it's introducing a new payment technology at two of its restaurants that promises to revolutionize the dining experience. And it's all in the palm of your hand. This is Katie Craig in San Diego, California. The technology I'm talking about is Amazon One, a contactless service that allows customers to pay for their meals by scanning their palms. Yes, you heard that right. You can now pay for your lunch by waving your hand over a sensor, like a Jedi performing a mind trick. Who knew that the future of dining would involve channeling your inner Sith Lord? According to Panera, the adoption of Amazon One is all about convenience. By reducing the time it takes for customers to pay for their meals, the company hopes to make its restaurants even more efficient and appealing to diners on the go. No more fumbling for credit cards or cash. Just scan your palm and you're good to go. Of course, as with any new technology, there are some concerns that should be addressed. The use of biometrics in commerce has raised questions about privacy and security. After all, our palm prints are unique to each individual, and the idea of having that information stored in a database somewhere might make some people uneasy. It's important to note that Amazon One doesn't store a customer's actual palm print. Instead, it creates a unique identifier based on the pattern of veins in the hand. Still, there's always a risk when it comes to sharing personal information, and it's important for companies to be transparent about how they're using that data. Despite these concerns, there's no denying that Amazon One has the potential to revolutionize the way we pay for things. No more digging through pockets or purses to find a credit card. No more typing in a PIN number or signing a receipt. Just a quick wave of the hand and you're done. So the next time you're at Panera, don't be surprised if the cashier asks to scan your palm. It's not the work of a Jedi mind trick, just the latest in a long line of technological advancements that promises to make our lives a little bit easier. This is Katie Craig. Stay safe out there.
This is Marcel Brown, the most trusted name in technology, with your technology history for March 29th. March 29, 1974, Mariner 10 becomes the first spacecraft to fly by the planet Mercury. At a range of 437 miles, Mariner 10 was able to send back the first close-up images of Mercury, indicating a moon-like surface of craters and ridges. Until Mariner ran out of fuel and contact terminated about 1 year later, it made two more flybys of Mercury, returning over 2,700 pictures of the innermost planet in our solar system. Mariner 10 was also famous for many other firsts. The first spacecraft to use the gravity of one planet, Venus, to reach another, Mercury. The first spacecraft to return data on a long-period comet, Kohoutek. The first mission to explore two planets, Mercury and Venus, during a single mission. The first spacecraft to use a gravity assist to change its flight path. The first spacecraft to return to its target after an initial encounter. And the first probe to use the solar wind as a major means of spacecraft orientation during flight. March 29, 1983, Radio Shack introduces the TRS-80 Model 100, one of the first portable computers in a notebook-style form factor. The portability, simplicity, and built-in modem of the Model 100 made it very popular with journalists who could write stories in the field and transmit them back to their offices. Incidentally, in the early 90s, I acquired a Model 100 that had been used by a newspaper. I was able to use it to code simple programs, write papers, and use the modem to connect to bulletin board systems of the time. I actually still have two of these models among my tech junk, and they're still in good working order. That's your technology history for today. For more, tune in tomorrow and visit my website, thisdayintechhistory.com.
That's it for today's open source and cybersecurity updates. For direct links to all stories and resources mentioned in today's episode, go to 505updates.com, where you can listen to our growing library of over 100 episodes. You can also download the transcript of all episodes for easy reference. 505 is a Sourced Networks production, with updates available Monday through Friday on your favorite audio streaming platform. Just search for It's 505. And please consider subscribing while you're there. Thank you to Chris Hughes, Chase Bannon, Edwin Kwan, Katie Craig, Marcel Brown for today's contributions. The executive producer is Mark Miller. The editor and the sound engineer is Poki Huan. Music for today's episode is by Blue Dot Sessions. We use Descript for spoken text editing and Audacity to layer in the soundscapes. The show distribution platform is provided by Captivate.fm. This is Poki Huan. See you tomorrow at 5:05.